You are listening to Rise Up Radio on WBAI.
Sunset behind the skyline of Jersey, walking towards the water with a fetus holding court in my gut, my body hijacked, my pit swollen and sore. The river has more colors at sunset than my sock drawer ever dreamed of. I could wake up screaming sometimes, but I don't. I could step off the end of this pier, but I got shit to do and an appointment on Tuesday to shed uninvited blood and tissue. I'll miss you. I say to the water, to the son or daughter I thought better of. I could fall in love with Jersey at sunset, but I leave the view to the rats and tiptoe.
Yo, so we're back, and that was Ani DeFranco talking about, well, you know, abortions and the ever-controversial subject in the corporate media. Gets kicked around a lot, talked about in moralistic ways a lot. Today we're going to talk about it as a health issue and an issue that affects young women here in New York. President Bush signed the Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act of 2003 last Wednesday after its passage in Congress. The law is the first federal ban on abortion procedures since Roe v. Wade legalized a woman's right to terminate her pregnancy in 1973. But now the White House is responding to constitutional challenges and a possible injunction on the new law. On Monday, the administration offered to suspend enforcement of the law for 120 days until an official hearing can take place to determine whether the procedures prohibited by the law are ever necessary to preserve a woman's health. There is no stipulation in the law to protect a woman's health. This comes in response to three federal district judges across the country who last week placed short-term restraining orders on the law after abortion providers, backed by the ACLU, big on our show today, filed suit.
And just a day after the ban was signed into law, a Manhattan-based district court judge exempted abortion providers represented by the National Abortion Federation, which operates 350 clinics in 47 states. For young women, the partial birth abortion ban could be particularly restricting because many limitations, such as parental consent laws, serve to delay the decision-making process past the first trimester of pregnancy. Abortion rights advocates say this is a problematic paradox.
Nell spoke with Lee Chi Long of the Reproductive Rights Project at the New York Civil Liberties Union. New York Civil Liberties Union, again, our good friend. She began by explaining the implication of the ban for young women.
This ban is basically an unconstitutional, deceptive, and extreme attempt by Congress to outlaw safe and common methods of abortion. This is a more serious issue for young women simply because all the restrictions that currently exist on abortion disproportionately affect young women. In New York State, women are fairly fortunate because they don't suffer under the parental consent constraints or the mandatory waiting period constraints. But outside of the city, lack of providers are a serious issue on top of the considerations of the cultural limitations and pressures that exist when young women are confronted with an unexpected pregnancy. Nationwide, parental involvement laws have really delayed the likelihood or the ease with which women can make the decision to have an abortion and when they can have an abortion. Following the enactment of Missouri's parental consent law, the proportion of second trimester abortions among minors actually increased by 17%. These pressures push women into, they a woman from acting upon her decision when she has made it, and that process of making the decision can take longer when a woman is younger.
Well, what about advocates of this ban who say that the procedures after a certain point in the term are unsafe and that this ban will help young women who might not know the intricacies of the medical procedures to not do something unsafe?
Well, those accusations are all part of the deceptive campaign that anti-choice advocates have constructed. Abortion is safe. Abortion is far safer than childbirth throughout pregnancy. It's more often than not, abortion would be... Well, there are two parts. First of all, this ban is not limited to only one procedure. It bans the safest and most common procedures in the second trimester because of the way it's so vaguely worded. The fact that it's so vaguely worded is one of the reasons that this ban has in the past been considered unconstitutional when they tried to pass it in Nebraska. And the ban is not limited to abortions performed late in pregnancy or post-viability. It actually does extend to, it's vaguely worded enough to extend to second trimester bans. Any doctors in explaining abortion procedures to young women go through the risks and benefits and explain the procedures and explain the consequences. And second trimester abortions are very safe. They're far safer than pregnancy. And one of the reasons why all the erosions and attacks on abortion are especially dangerous is because by causing delays in when a woman can get an abortion, those delays are what increase the risk in the procedures, not the procedures themselves.
Now, how do you see young women that you work with through the NYCLU reproductive rights program responding to this, and how do you think young women who do want and believe in reproductive rights could respond to this when it seems like a very a decision from on high?
Well, there are three challenges in the courts right now. There's a case in New York that the ACLU and the NYCLU actually brought on behalf of doctors from across the country. I think the most important thing young women can do is to educate themselves and to educate others about what these bans really are and how dangerous they are. These bans, in addition to being unconstitutional and misrepresentative, are just the tip of the iceberg. This isn't an isolated ban. It's part of a larger strategy to chip away at abortion rights. We would encourage young women especially to write to their representatives and to let them know what they think that this ban and other efforts of the right to restrict access to abortion and other reproductive rights information really present a threat to the health of all women, but especially young women. As young women, they're not going to stand for this restriction of their access, of these attempts to take their power to make reproductive choices.
Finally, just to wrap up, can you talk about what the sort of larger trajectory of this ban on the federal level could be in terms of the President Bush's anti-choice agenda and the general sentiments within Congress?
Mm-hmm. On Bush's very first day in office, he reinstated the global gag rule. I mean, he's from the very beginning taken a stance that has set as a goal restricting reproductive access. After this so-called partial birth abortion ban was passed, Senate Republicans already talked about passing a slew of other legislation, from fetal homicide to parental consent to all sorts of things that would restrict access for women not only to abortion but also to information about abortion. we're at a very dangerous place just because these moves, the so-called partial birth abortion ban, the mandatory waiting periods, the Medicaid restrictions, all of these are part of a larger strategy to chip away at abortion rights. The real danger of the so-called partial birth abortion ban, beyond the constitutional implications, is that this is a truly deceptive debate the way that the right has been phrasing it. There is no partial birth abortion procedure it defined in any medical textbook. And this ban isn't limited to abortions at any stage. It's not limited to third trimester abortions or even post-viability abortions. It's this blanket, vaguely worded ban with absolutely no health exception, which is why the Supreme Court declared a very similar ban unconstitutional 3 years ago. It ignores the fact that, it's written vaguely enough to make second trimester abortions and the safest techniques illegal. That's the danger this ban poses. It's vaguely written, it's deceptively written, it's overly broad, and it has absolutely no health exception. It doesn't take into account the health of the individual women involved.
Well, we do have to wrap up. Lichi Leong of the New York Civil Liberties Union Reproductive Rights Project, I want to thank you for joining us. And how can people get in touch with you all?
You can call us with any questions at 212-344-3005, or you can visit our website, which is nyclu.org.
Okay, well, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.